Can't believe how many volunteers we need to make things, to make church happen. We need volunteers, and we're so grateful for those who so willingly and so ably do it week by week. We don't take you for granted. We appreciate you all. Not just the up here, I mean the fact that we got coffee there to drink. I mean, we can do without a singer or two, but don't take the coffee away. Okay, we started a series on losing your religion, and we're going to pick up tonight on the third of the four-part series about losing your religion. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 7. And if you've got a phone with a Bible on, I'd like you to turn to Romans chapter 7. And if you have neither of those, we'll just listen very carefully. And we're going to read from verse 14. This is an amazingly honest account by the Apostle Paul of the struggle he has in this thing we call the spiritual journey. It's an amazingly honest account of his struggle. And just hear and just try and feel some of his struggle and see whether you can identify with it. He says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me." And then he repeats that. "I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Anybody relate to this yet? "Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin living in me that does it." And so he comes to this conclusion. "I find that this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is no now condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful humanity to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in human flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the honesty of Paul, Lord, just sharing his struggles with us. But thank you, Lord, that struggle ends in victory. And Lord, tonight just help us to follow the argument and come to an understanding that whilst we might struggle like Paul, yet ultimately we know that we can also have the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start tonight a little differently. I want you to pick up that piece of paper that's on your table, and one of you, I want you to be a scribe. And just for a few moments, I want you to imagine that you're one of these people who want to start a new religion. And I want you to just put down up to 8 commands or laws that you think you would like to see included in this new religion that you want to start. Okay? Just 8 things that you think would be important that people should not do or that people should do. Just take a few moments. One of you just write it and just shout them out as they come to your mind. Okay. However far you've gone, just put the piece of paper in the middle of the table with the pen and now focus on me again. I'm the center again. I relinquished that for a few moments there. I struggled, but I did it. Now focus on me again. C.S. Lewis. Who's heard the name C.S. Lewis? Okay, we've heard the name C.S. Lewis. He was a really clever man. He kind of lived in the early part of the last century. He was an Oxford University professor. He was an author. He was a philosopher. And only much later in life did he become a Christian. And he once did a study on all the world religions. I mean, we're talking Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, all the major world religions. He did a study on them because he wanted to see what they had in common with each other. And he found that, in fact, all the world religions, in fact, have a lot in common. In fact, he came to the conclusion that if we were looking for a philosophy by which to live, most religions are pretty much the same. Most religions have a high moral standard. And he distilled out of all the world religions 8 principles or laws which were common to all the world religions. Here's what they were. All the religions have this: don't harm others by word or deed. All the religions have honor your parents. All the religions have be kind to siblings, that's your brothers and sisters, and to the elderly. All of them say we've got to be honest in our dealings with one another. None of them want you to lie. None of them want a person to have sex with the spouse of another person. All of them wanted us to care for the weaker. All of them wanted us to put others first. I wrote down about stealing there because it doesn't seem like all the religions agree with that, okay? They didn't have it there, but I wanted it there. Isn't it quite amazing, actually, that there is all this common ground in terms of the morality of the standard by which to live, which goes across all religions? So in theory, we ought to be able to say to people, there you are, take your pick, go and live perfectly according to the religion of your choice, and if we could all do it perfectly, well, we may end up with world peace. Sounds good in theory? Where's the problem? Where's the problem? You were going to say that, weren't you? We can't perfectly live according to any list of laws. We are incapable of perfectly living according to any list of laws. Now, tonight, I look around and I see the folk that are here, and we are a reasonably good bunch of people, aren't we? And you tell me, how many of us have never, ever said an unkind, hurtful person to someone? We've never done it. Anybody never said a... Well, I didn't think so. Because all of us, somewhere along the line, have hurt somebody with our words. So we know what to do. We have laws that tell us what to do, but we also have our consciences, which tell us what is good and what is bad, but none of us are perfectly able to do this. Tell me, how many of us have never, ever disrespected our parents? We know we ought to honor them. Both the laws that are out there and our consciences tell us that, but we have not been able to do that perfectly. How many of us have never ever fought with our brother or sister? Hey, somebody around here never fought? Okay, yes, the next one is for you. How many of us never told a lie? Because anybody who said they've never fought their brother or sister is probably struggling with the thing about lying. Okay? But you get the point. We know what is good and right, but we are incapable of consistently doing the good and refusing to do the right. And sorry, refusing to do the wrong. And here is the problem. God requires perfection. It doesn't matter what your religion, the God of that religion requires what we are not able to give. Perfect obedience to the law. And every time we do something wrong, something dies. You thought about that? Every time we say a hurtful word to somebody, something in that person dies. It crushes them. And we may feel justified at the time because we were so angry. But when we think about it, we realize something has died in us and we live with the guilt. Every time we dishonor our parents, something in them dies. The sadness and the disappointment of a son or a daughter abusing them. And because our consciences let us know we have done wrong, something inside of us dies. Every time we do something wrong, every time we disobey that list, every time we disobey our conscience, it doesn't matter the list or our conscience, it's the same thing. Every time we go against that, something dies in us. In the person that we've offended, something died. And here's the thing, we can do nothing about it. We cannot unsay the words. We cannot undo what we have done. We've offended our parents. We wish we could go back and undo that. But we cannot. We cannot undo the dying we have caused. And we go through life and these wrong things heap up. And we wish we could, but we can't undo any of them. But you know what? The fact that we wish we could undo them, the fact that we regret having done them, tells us something. It tells us that we actually agree with that list of laws, that we agree that it's good. The fact that we wish we could undo it shows that we actually wish that we could live like that, because we recognize that if we could live like that, that is a better way to live, but we are incapable of keeping all those laws. Now, we aren't the first people to feel that way. Paul was what we call an apostle. This means that God had called him for a special job, and he was an amazing man. Most of what we call the New Testament was written by Paul, including this book out of which we have just read now, the book of Romans. And in the portion that we have just read, we see Paul struggling. He's struggling with these very things about which we have been speaking. Paul knows that the law is good. He would love to be able to keep the law. He would love to be able to live his life by the law. He would love to be able to undo all the wrong that he has done. And Paul writes very honestly about his struggle. Listen to Paul. He says, we know that the law is spiritual. Which law? It doesn't matter which law. It could be any one of the laws from any one of the world religions. It could be the law of our conscience telling us what's right or wrong. It doesn't matter. We know that that is good. So what's the problem? The problem is I am unspiritual. I am sold as a slave to sin. The law is good. Paul was the problem. And so he continues and he says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. We've already seen that. The fact that we want to keep the law tells us that we believe that the law is good, but try as we may, we always come fall short of the law. Which brings Paul to a realization, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. This is what Paul is saying. The law is good. I want to keep it. I am bad. I can't keep it. So I'm left with a conflict between what I want and my ability to do what I want. Can you relate to that? I can. Why is it like this? Well, he tells us in verse 21 to 24, he tells us that in fact there are two laws operating in us. There's the law of God and the law of sin. And we know that the law of God is good. This is why we actually want to keep it. But we keep coming up against the law of sin, and that keeps us from doing the law of God, which brings Paul to this final realization, what he wants to do, what he can't do. He keeps on hitting his head against this reality, and he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from a life that is dominated by sin? Who will free me from it? But that's his only our first problem. The first problem is that we cannot do what we want to do, even though we know it's a good thing to do. That's our first problem. We've got another problem. What do we do about the wrong that we have already done? Even if from today we were able to perfectly keep the law, what about the wrong things that we have already done that have been heaping up, or the dying that's taking place because of the things we've done? What about the past? What do we do about that? We have seen that we cannot go back and undo what we have done. Oh, how we would love to be able to go back and kind of take back those words that we've said when we shouted at our mother, at our spouse, at our sibling. How we would love to go back and take back the lie that we told, but we can't. So even if from today we perfectly kept the list of laws, what about our past? And here's the solution. Lose your religion. Lose your religion. You see, this is the point to which religion brings us. Religion shows us the good that we want to do. All the religions show us the good that we want to do. Religion proves that we are incapable of doing it. Here's a standard, and religion shows us that we can only get to here, even the best of us. Religion leaves us feeling guilty. Guilty for the bad stuff we've done. Guilty that we can never undo it. But actually, that is the job of religion, to bring us to the point where we cry out like Paul, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Because when we reach that point, we are now ready to hear the good news. And the good news is this: thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus is the good news, because in Christ there is now no condemnation. How does it work? What about the bad stuff we have done? Well, we cannot undo it, but we can be forgiven in Christ. And this is how Paul explains it. He says, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful humanity to be a sin offering. When somebody has done something wrong, there's a penalty that must be paid. You caught speeding, you've got to pay the speeding fine. You caught breaking and entering, you've got to go to jail for it. When there's a wrong thing that has been done, there's a penalty that must be paid. Spiritually, we cannot pay the penalty for the wrong that we have done, because if we did, we would die. Simple as that. But God sent his son Jesus, and Jesus died on the cross. Jesus paid the penalty for our wrong, for all those things that we have done. And when we reach the place where we realize how sinful we are, that's the point that we are ready to ask Jesus to forgive us. And when we receive the forgiveness that Jesus offers, he is able to declare, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is incredible. That Jesus looks at us and he sees us as though we have never, ever done anything wrong. He looks at us and he sees that our slate has been wiped clean. No, we cannot undo what we have done. The dying we have caused is still there. And maybe we need to go back and try and make right in some instances. But as far as God is concerned, we are forgiven. It's as though we have never done it. But it's not just the past that he's dealt with. God deals with our future too. Paul has referred to a law, to a principle that operates in us. He calls it the law of sin. And when we accept the forgiveness of Jesus, God sends his Spirit to live in us. And with the Spirit, another law or another principle comes into effect through Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That law of sin and death is in us, keeping us down, keeping us from doing the one thing that we want to do. And so when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we now have a different principle operating in us, the law of the Spirit who gives life. The law of sin and death, it will always operate in us. It's always going to be there, trying to pull us down. But now a more powerful law is available to us. We are always going to be tempted to do the wrong we know we shouldn't do. But in Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life, we won't have to give into it anymore. We will no longer have to do the wrong. Think of an aeroplane on a runway. There it sits, big, immovable. Gravity seems to be like glue holding it to the ground. And you look at that and you think, no way. No way that thing is ever going to get into the air and soar like a bird. It just sits there like a big, ugly duckling. But then it starts to move down the runway. Faster and faster it goes. And in miracle upon miracle, it leaves the ground. And ultimately, it soars like a bird. Why? Has gravity gone away? Has gravity stopped operating? Of course not. Another more powerful law has come into effect, the law of lift. And that law of lift overcomes the pull of gravity. Jesus forgives our past. And Jesus gives us another law in terms of which to live, the law of the Spirit of life. And so we no longer need to do the wrong we don't want to do. This is not religion. Lose your religion. This is not religion. Religion can only show us how bad we are. This is good news. Our past is forgiven. With strength for the future. Tonight, I'm asking you to lose your religion and accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord, that you take us beyond what any other religion can take us. You take us to the point of forgiveness of the past and strength for the future. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.